Welcome back to the Global Tehillim and Chizik Daily Call. On behalf of the Orthodox Union, this is Naftali Herman. The Daily Call serves as a pause in our day, a few moments to step back together as one Klal Yisrael, and to daven together on behalf of the many needs of our people. Thank you so much for making today's call a part of your day on Yom Rivi'i, the 12th day of the month of Iyar, 27th day of the Omer. And in Israel, where it is already Yom Chamishi, the 13th day of Iyar. We continue to hold Achenu, Kol Beis Yisrael, in our hearts, davening for our brave Chayalim, American forces, all of those standing on the front lines protecting our people. May he who gives salvation to kings and dominion to princes, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, grant wisdom and righteous counsel to the President of the United States and all who guide this nation. May he protect and bless the servicemen and women of the United States Armed Forces, granting them strength, courage, and safe return. May the decisions of America's leaders bring peace, security, and stability to all. May the Supreme King of Kings and his mercy put into their hearts and the hearts of all their counselors and officials to deal kindly with us and all of Israel. In their days and hours, may Yehuda be saved and Yisrael dwell in safety. And may the Redeemer come to Zion. May this be his will, v'nomar amen. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to welcome back to the Daily Call, introduce Rabbi Yaakov Trump of the Young Israel of Lawrence Cedarhurst, Yilk, in Cedarhurst, New York, to share words of Divrei Chizuk. I'm supposed to have this chus, the great opportunity to spend time with Rabbi Trump yesterday at a rabbinic meeting at the OU. Fortunately, it was on the cards. I was not able to attend and certainly looking forward to future opportunities. Following Rabbi Trump's remarks, we will recite together Tehillim, beginning with Perek Chaf, moving on to Kuf Chaf Aleph, and concluding with Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 20, 121, and 130. Tehillim will be followed by Achenu, both in Hebrew as well as in English, the Mishaberach for our dear Chayalim. And finally, Rabbi Trump will conclude with the Mishaberach L'cholim, pausing for about 30 seconds to give each of us the opportunity to insert the names of all those we are davening for. To sign up for the daily reminder emails, please visit ou.org/Tehillim call. Again, that link, as always, is ou.org/Tehillim call. With that, bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Trump.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Rabbi Herman. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, and thank you for all the OU support staff for making this possible. And I hope that everybody is having a meaningful day. Just in the brief moment that we have together, I'd like to share a thought which I came across recently in the works of Eim Habonim Smecha by Rabbi Sacha Teich Tal. We'll get back to the relevance of him as the author of this idea, but before, let's start with the idea and then come back to the relevance of this in our lives today. The idea goes as follows. It's based on a story we all know. The story is in Parshat Vayetze, in which Yaakov Avinu is on his way to Haran. He's been told by both his mother and his father that it's imperative for him to go. His mother is telling him to leave, and his father is telling him to go, to find somebody to marry. And off he goes. Vayetze, he leaves Vayelech, and he goes to Haran. He's moving from Be'er Sheva in the south of Israel, and Haran is past the Euphrates River. So we're now in the area, the region of Iraq. So it's quite a long trek. And the Gemara tells us a fascinating thing. The Gemara in Cholin, commenting on this particular travel on Daf Tzadi Aleph of the base, tells us in the Ne'er Yitzhak that what happened was is that Yaakov was traveling, and he actually made it all the way to Haran. So he walked from the south of Israel to the area of the Euphrates River, Haran, where he arrived. And then he said to himself, Amar Efshar Ovarti Amokom Shispalalu Avoisai Vani Lo Hispalalti. He said, you know, I walked over the place where my parents, my ancestors prayed to Hashem, and I didn't pray there. And so he decides that it's important for him to go back. So he returns to the land of Israel, and the Gemara says, Kadyar Dat Lemihadar, once he decided to go back, Koft Sale Aro Miyad Vayifgava Makom, the land, so to speak, you know, literally jumped and he was able to sleep in a land, rather on a place of the gateway to heaven. This is what the Gemara says. So usually we think of it as Yaakov, you know, on the way up from Be'er Sheva, he bumps into Hara Moriah, falls asleep, and that's where he has the dream of the ladder. However, the Gemara is telling us that's not the case. He made it all the way to Haran, remembered that he had passed over that area, and returned. But on his way back, there was Kfitza for Aretz, which means that we usually interpret that means that the journey was made shorter, the ground underneath him was contracted in such a way that his way back was smaller, was shorter. However, this is not the way that Rashi on the Torah observes this. Rashi's puzzled by a number of things, but Rashi's trying to figure out a few things, because on the one hand, it says that he wanted to go to the place that his ancestors prayed at. The place that his ancestors prayed out at was Har HaMoriah, Mount Moriah. But yet, the Torah tells us that the area that he was sleeping was Beis El. Beis El is not Mount Moriah. It's to the north of Mount Moriah. In fact, Be'er Sheva, Yerushalayim, which is Har HaMoriah, and Beit El are directly north-south of each other. It's along Route 60, the biblical highway in Israel, north-south. But the Beit El is further north of Yerushalayim, of Har HaMoriah. So what actually happened? He didn't make it then to Har HaMoriah like he had planned. What actually went on in the story? And Rashi makes the following observation. He made all the way to Haran. He reaches Iraq. He gets there and he says, I didn't stop at Mount Moriah. He makes his way back. But by the time he gets to Beit El, then Kfitzah Aretz does not mean that the land became contracted and it was fast to get from one place to another. It means that Mount Moriah itself jumped to Beit El, which means that the place he was staying geographically, if you looked on the map, was technically speaking Beit El. But the earth underneath him was the earth of Mount Moriah, of Har HaMoriah, because it jumped to meet him. That's the way Rashi understands it. Kfitzah Aretz does not mean the path becomes shorter. It means the destination arrived at the place that Yaakov Avinu was. Then Rashi asks the most basic question. This is a lot of gymnastics. There's a lot that needs to happen over here for this all to work. You need Yaakov to remember, you need to come back, and then you have a mountain jumping from one place to another. There's just a lot of stuff going on over here. It would have been simpler. There's a much easier way to have solved this problem from the perspective of the Almighty. And that is that when Yaakov, time number one, was going north, before he arrived in Iraq, then just let him stop at Mount Moriah, make the sun set then, and then he will sleep at Har HaMoriah. No mountains have to jump, no journey has to be made, and everything is fine. Rashi says the very telling words. He says, "Iyu lo yad libei lispala b'makom shvalu ha'avosav min hashamayim yakvuhu." If he didn't care to stop the first time around when he was going north, to stop at the mountain of Har HaMoriah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to wake him up to do that as well. Which yields a very profound observation, which is as follows from Rashi. And this is where Rav Tital scales this idea. If we aren't interested in coming towards God, God will let us continue to snooze. He will let us continue to miss him and walk over the places that matter in life, to miss the windows of opportunity of doing something important. But should we really, really desperately want to come closer to him, he will move mountains towards us if we move towards him. That's what you see from this. This is a very profound idea. Yaakov Avinu, the first time around when he was moving north, didn't notice or care to stop, so Hashem wasn't going to stop him. But when he moved south and he said, I need to get there, then because of that will and that work towards that will, Hashem would even move a mountain towards them. And this transposed into so many aspects of Allah, Rav Tachtali's book, Emma Wani Smecha, observes is about Israel as well, is that it's all right to daven and to aspire and to dream, that it's not enough. You need to walk towards it. You need to make and take the concrete, finite steps to get there, and then Hashem will move mountains. But if you don't care to make the first steps, Hashem will carry on letting us walk and passing over the most important parts, times, and places that could have been in our lives. A very profound idea. It requires the engagement, the human effort, and the care to actually do something for Hashem to partner with us. This is all just reading one Rashi on the Torah. I believe it's a profound narrative, or perhaps an instructive narrative, in the way that we should be aspiring to conduct our lives. Caring enough to move, caring enough to do, and then Hashem meets us when we do care enough. We're going to pivot now into the Tehillim. Please join me. It's not responsive. I'm going to say it. Please join me as I say it. The first Tehillim we're doing is Tehillim Chaf, the 20th chapter in the book of Tehillim. Namatzeach Nizmar LeDavid. Ya'anecha Adonai b'yom tzara yisagev chashem Elohei Yaakov yishlach ezrecha mikodesh u'mitzion yisadecha yizkor kol minchasecha do'ilasecha yidash yisena yiten necha chil vovecha v'chol atzasecha yimalei yirenina b'shuasecha u'vishen Eloheinu nidgol Yemale Adonai, kol mishalai secha. Ata yodati, ki ashi Adonai nishichai. Yaneu mishmei kodshai, bigvurois yeisha yiminai. Eile varechev, yeile vasusim. Va'anachnu b'shem, Adonai eleheinu nazkir. Hei makaru, v'nofalu, va'anachnu kanu, v'nisodod. Adonai Hoshia, HaMelech Ya'aneinu, B'yon Koreinu. Tehillim Kuf Chof Aleph, 121. Shir Lama'alois, Esa Einai El Heharim Me'ayin, Yehoi Ezri, Ezri Me'im Adonai, Oistei Shomayim Voret. Al Yitei Lamoit Raglecha, Al Yonun Shomerecha, Hinei Lo Yonun V'lo Yishon, Shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shomerecha, Adonai Tzilcha, Al Yad Yiminecha, Yomam HaShemesh Lo Yakecha, V'yareyach Baloyla, Adonai Yishmorcha Mikol Ra, Yishmor Es Nashecha, Adonai Yishmor Tzeizecha Uvoecha, Me'ata V'yad Elam. Tehillim Kuf Lamed, 130. Shir HaMa'aloi Zimam HaKim, Kerasich Adonai, Adonai Shiva Vikari, Tiena Znecha Kashu Vois Nakol Tachanunai, Ima Voinois Tishmor Ya, Adonai Mi Yamoid, Ki Imacha Asericha, Leman Tivorei, Ki Visi Adonai, Ki Vesor Nashiv Lidvoroi, Hoi Cholti Nashiv Adonai, Nishamarim Naboiker, Shamarim Naboiker, Yachel Yisrael El Adonai Kim Adonai Achesed Barbei Moifedus Hu Yifteh Es Yisrael Mikol Avoinai Sov. Please join me in Acheinu, both in Hebrew and English. Acheinu Kol Beis Yisrael Al Nesuni Batzaror Ulashivya Hoimzim Ben Ayom Uvein Bayam Ashor Hamokom Yirachem Aleihem Yotziyem Yitzara Lirvocha Me'asei Lo Le'aro Mishibu Digula Hashta ba'agolah v'izman koriz v'nemar amein. As for brothers of the whole house of Israel who are in distressful captivity on sea or land, may the all-present one have compassion upon them and lead them from distress to relief, from darkness to light, and from oppression to freedom, now, swiftly and soon, and let us say amen. We now say a prayer for the forces of the Israel's defense forces who are even during ceasefire, under attack. Mi sheberach avoseinu Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov hu yivorech es chayalei tzva hagana l'Yisrael v'anshei kochos habitachon ha'amdim b'mishmaratzeinu v'orei Eloheinu migavul halevanon v'ad midbar Mitzrayim minein agadol ad mevoy aravo v'kol makom shehem v'yamasho ba'avir u'vayom yitein Adonai yaseveinu hakomim aleinu migafim mivneihem hakadosh baruch hu yishmar v'yatzil es chayalei mikol tzara v'tzukah. The Kol Nego Machalav Yishlach Rokha Batzacha b'chol ma'aseh yedayhem, yader sanin utafiyem yatrei mechezer Yeshua, uvateret nitzachoyim, vikuyam lo'im ha'kosum ki amnoi lachem, ha'anech imachem nilachem lachem im oyeveichem, v'yashiyaschem, v'nemar amein. We conclude with the Mishnah Berakh for Cholim. Please mention the names of those who I need during the pause. Mishnah Berakh aviseinu Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, Moshe v'Aaron David u'Shlomo, huyvorech es ha'cholim. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yimolei Rachamim Aleihem, Nach Yimol Rapozo, Nach Azikom, Nach Ayosam, Yishdal Nai Beruch Hu, Hashem Amin Hashamayim, Lachol Evoreihem, Ulachol Gizayim, Yisrael Shachole Yisrael, Rufu Asa Nefesh, Rufu Asa Gum, Hashtal Bagadov Izman Koriv, V'Namar, Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Shram. Great to have you on. Looking forward to having you back on the program, please God, in your Hashem, in the near future. I want to thank Rebecca Lieb, as always, for all of her help and coordination behind the scenes. For us here at the Daily Tehillim Call, please join us again for our next scheduled program tomorrow on Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern. As each day, we pause at this time to share a moment of tefillah prayer together. Don't despair. Remember that the best is yet to come. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing nechama, comfort, physic, strength, and hope. All of Klal Yisrael around the world, wishing everyone a safe and wonderful day.